Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, oh my goodness, we are in the season of all those qualities. Advent is a truly gracious time of pure loveliness. And St. Paul says, think about all those aspects of life and faith. What could be more inspiring than to think about the birth of our faith with the coming of Jesus? Well, of course, we are all about thinking about that blessed night of nights. And I say, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, too. That is what we do on Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, a light and lively hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern Advent times so we can wake up and say to the world each and every day, oh, yeah, you can call me Catholic. And by the way, please do. This is our special Christmas edition of Call Me Catholic, and I'm so glad to have my co-pilot, Jimmy G, at the helm with me, my jolly engineer and chief fact checker.
Merry Christmas.
Are you in the spirit?
I don't have the Santa hat on, but yeah, you could say so.
Well, we're right here at the cusp of Christmas,
right,
because
right.
We've got tomorrow is the last Sunday of Advent, and then right away it switches up into Christmas, Christmas Eve. So we have two obligations, which
right.
is a beautiful gift, to go to Mass, and a lot of people will probably go tonight, Saturday Eve, vigil for tomorrow, and then to kind of launch into the holidays. But it all comes kind of together rather oddly this calendar year. Jimmy G and I are coming to you rather oddly from high atop the Tower.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
We are on the sparkling Christ Cathedral campus in the Diocese of Orange. That is Orange County, California, my friends. Yep, we are the OC. Lousiest Christmas weather in the country right now. Hot, dry, and windy, and weird. But we Christians know that Christmas is not about walking in a winter wonderland. It's about walking in the footsteps of Mary and Joseph as they prepare for the birth of our Lord. And it's so easy to forget that in the midst of our secular world's sort of hijacking of the Advent season into the madness of the holiday season. And look, you know, I enjoy the Christmas holiday for its festivities and fun, but it does impose a lot of pressures on all of us. Some years it's just a struggle to embrace the merriment of the holiday season. Mm. Things aren't coming together as well. You might be in the midst of some trials that burden your spirit. Maybe you've hit some hard times financially, socially, professionally, personally, spiritually even. We all get that, and we've all faced those roadblocks. But wow, we have Joseph and Mary to show us the model for getting through the tough times. They're the very couple we honored this season. I mean, it's ho, 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 Santa's coming, Christmas is here, cheer for us. But it was the worst of times for them. I mean, think about how hard it was to make that 90-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem in Mary's 9th month of pregnancy. It was an uphill, downhill journey. I mean, there were wild boars and bandits in the bushes, inclement weather, uncomfortable sleeping accommodations on the road, and it was brutal. And then when they get to Bethlehem, it's booked.
They had no four-wheel drive.
They had no, bellman carrying their luggage. No, it was tough. Of course, I think all of that resolved itself when Jesus showed his infant face to his parents for the first time. They got a glimpse of heaven and all that awaited them beyond their earthly plight. And that is what we try to channel, the promise of heaven and a life with Jesus eventually. And maybe that's what we need to remember, that our Christmas joy is really all about. This is our Christmas weekend edition of Call Me Catholic, and we have an all-star cast to share with you. You know those Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Osmond Family, Andy Williams, Sonny and Cher Christmas specials?
The Brady Kids.
That's nothing compared to what we have in store for you today. We have got Raymond Arroyo, we've got Jeanette Bankovic, Debbie Giorgiani, and Father Mitch Pacwa with us this hour to talk about their favorite Christmas memories, their plans this year, their hopes for the future. No singing, I don't think. I don't think we have any singing planned.
No.
Yeah, well, where's Dean Martin when you need him? That is all coming up on this special Christmas weekend edition of Call Me Catholic. But first up, it's our Call Me Catholic countdown, which this week will be, well, let's see. I think we are going to explore my 5 favorite hidden characters in the nativity story. Okay, we all know the players. We set out their figures in our creche scenes each Advent season. But there are a lot of people behind the scenes of this epic moment in history. We don't hear these stories. So I'd like to consider them in this week's Call Me Catholic countdown of the week. So here we go.
The Call Me
jingle
Catholic
bells.
Countdown.
Jingle bells, Jimmy Choo.
Ching, 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 ching.
Okay. So here we go. My top five favorite hidden figures in the Nativity story. Number five, the neighbors. So here are Mary and Joseph. They've come into town. They're staying at a stable. And there have to be people around that are aware of this. Now, don't you think that there are people that see that Jesus and Mary, I mean, Mary and Joseph have settled into this stable, very, very humble accommodations for a young 15-year-old woman who's pregnant. So I'm thinking there must have been some people that noticed them and said, Samuel, take the girl a basket of figs. Or here, you know, send them some fresh bread. They don't have anything, and it's cold, and she's expecting a baby.
Yeah,
so
good point.
See if we can send some blankets over, something like that. So I'm thinking there must have been some neighbors that noticed them and that maybe extended a helping hand.
The shepherds.
Well, the shepherds, right. The shepherds just came to, they just gawked.
They were hanging out.
They just gawked. But I mean, I'm thinking there must have been people in the neighborhood, in the surrounding region that noticed them and said, let's give them a little hand. And
sure.
So bless their hearts. I'd like to think we would have done that. Okay. Number four. How about Mary's parents, Anne and Joachim? So they send their daughter off with her new husband, their 15-year-old, their little teenage daughter off with her husband. She's 9 months pregnant. Don't you think they're worried about them? About her?
You would think so.
Yeah. I mean, and don't you think they're anxious for the news? I'm sure St. Anne intuited what was happening, but I still think you must have been, as a mother, as a father, you're just thinking, are they okay? Did they make it all right? They don't have phones. They don't have...
Exactly. How could they communicate?
Yeah, nothing like that. So I think that must have been a time of great anxiety for Mary, for Anne and Joachim. And I'm sure that somehow God gave them the knowledge that all was well and Jesus
right,
was
right.
Well. Okay. Number three, the innkeepers. Now, I think the innkeepers get a bit of a bad rap during this time of year. Because remember, we portray them as sort of like, no room at the inn, slam the door. But in fact, this town was burgeoning with people that were coming in for the census. So all the inns were booked. They literally were booked. So another knock at the door, Josiah, tell them we don't have any more room at the inn. I mean, it was just true. That was actually what the case was. They didn't know who Mary and Joseph were. Mm. Otherwise, I'm sure they would have given them their room. But, the one innkeeper that did say, look, you know, you need a little help here. I can see you're uncomfortable. You're with child any moment arriving. Let me put you in our stable. So I think we need to give the innkeepers a little bit of a break there and just sort of say they did their best. It was unfortunate. They didn't see the writing on the wall there, but they were running businesses.
I think that was a new word you invented, the innbreakers.
The innbreakers. I know. I think that was a group in the 60s, wasn't it?
I'm going to fact check that.
And the door slammers. Of course, the lesson there is that this season is about hospitality, opening our hearts to Jesus and opening our doors to friends and family and welcoming them always. Get rid of your grudges, kids. Get rid of your grudges. Make this a season of hospitality. Okay, number two would be Joseph himself. Now, I know Joseph is not an invisible character in the Nativity story. We know his role well, but yet he was a quiet figure. He was a somewhat hidden figure because there is no recorded word in the scripture that Joseph said.
That's right.
But he was a quiet man of action because he facilitated the movement and the protection. He was a man of courage and faith. You know, he believed the dreams, the angels' messages through the dreams. He had to have incredible faith to act on those. He was a righteous man. He was good. He always did the right thing. He was generous. He was generous and he was wise. And of course, right when the baby's brand new, then he has to head off and, head to Egypt and trust once again that his instincts, his grace-filled dreams were actually leading him in the right direction. So
amen.
It's really hard to think about Christmas without thinking about Joseph. Okay. So the number one hidden figure in the Nativity story is you and it's me. We are there. Every year we are there. We stand by their side. We embrace the baby Jesus. We welcome him into the world. And we hope that we keep him warm all year in our heart.
Amen.
So don't forget that we are standing right there with him. Think about it. So much to imagine when considering the birth of Jesus. It's pretty profound amidst the frivolity of the season. Give it some consideration because it's why we're here and it's why we are celebrating this holy holiday of Christmas. Hey, you might consider giving us a little Christmas gift by checking out our Facebook page and liking us. We like you. That's facebook.com/callmecatholic. We're looking to expand our family and our friendships in the new year. So give us a like if you're feeling generous. Well, wow, do we have an EWTN All-Star lineup for you today on this Call Me Catholic Christmas special. Father Mitch Pacwa is up next, followed by all of your favorite EWTN personalities talking about their Christmas memories. Stay with us, won't you? I am Peggy Normandin, and you are listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is Father Spitzer, host of Father Spitzer's Universe.
This is Catherine Seltner, host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Have a blessed Advent from all of us at EWTN Radio.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legg.
The Church begins the Advent season by meditating on the words of St. John the Baptist, and we can take that to heart in our spiritual lives in this season of Advent. What does John the Baptist say to us? Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. What can I do to prepare the Lord's way? Where is the Lord coming to? He wants to come into your heart. He wants to be present in your life. And if you're going to make straight the paths of the Lord into your heart, the best way to do that is to return to the Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation. The season of Advent is a penitential season. It's a season when often confessions are offered for longer hours and maybe in a special Advent penance service. Go to confession. Take advantage of the wonderful graces of forgiveness and mercy that are waiting for you in the confessional. God loves you more than you can imagine. Experience that love this Advent by returning to Him in the sacrament of reconciliation.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Listen to EWTN Radio day or night. Audio on demand brings you your favorite EWTN programs, prayers, and devotionals instantly to you for free. Visit EWTNapps.com and get started today.
'Tis the season for Christmas programming. Join EWTN Radio Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for the 48 Hours of Christmas with Raymond Arroyo and the World Over Christmas Special.
Can you fulfill a huge Christmas wish of mine?
Now, what would that be?
Could we sing I Wish You a Merry Christmas?
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
The 48 Hours of Christmas, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day on EWTN Radio.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Cheers, my friends. I am Peggy Normandin, and today on Call Me Catholic, as we prepare to light the last candle in our Advent wreath tomorrow, we also get ready to officially usher in the Christmas holiday. The last Sunday of Advent is also Christmas Eve. Quick transition, quick change up there. And I thought it would be fun to talk to some of our favorite EWTN personalities and hear about how they're celebrating Christmas this year, some of their favorite memories and traditions. So we will start out with EWTN's resident genius priest. You know him as the host of EWTN Live. He also hosts the Open Line program. He's an iconic figure with our network. Father Mitch Pacwa met Mother Angelica in 1984, and she put him immediately into full-time service, and the rest is history. Father Mitch Pacwa, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you very much. Good to be with y'all.
Now, Father Mitch, you speak 13 languages. Your knowledge of scripture and theology is pretty unparalleled. But today, I want to just talk to you about your memories of Christmas. How did you celebrate Christmas as a child?
Well, of course, with family. And
well,
it was, but I mean, what's distinctive about that today is it was extended family. And not just the immediate family. We didn't live that far away from grandparents and even my great-grandmother on my mother's side. And Christmas Eve was always, always at my mother's mother's house. And the traditions were very Polish. And one of the things that Polish people do on Christmas Eve is have what's known as the Vigilia, the vigil meal.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be before midnight mass, well, Christmas Eve evening.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something where there were seven things that you ate. All seven were white.
Oh, that was an imperative. They had to be white.
They were all white. And they were all the same thing every year.
Was rice included there? Was rice one of them?
No rice. No. Potatoes.
Oh, potatoes, right.
Eastern Europe.
Sorry. Apologies. Latkes.
Not East Asia. Eastern Europe.
Well, I'm trying to think of what else is white. Oh, it's potatoes are white. Okay.
Okay. Well, the first thing we would eat is everybody got a piece of a garlic clove.
Oh.
and that was for health for these. So you ate raw garlic clove. All right.
Okay, and everybody's on the same page then. You all have garlic.
Oh, yeah. Yes, everybody has a piece of garlic clove. And then we would have opatki. Opatki was or is a type of bread made exactly the same way as the host at Mass. It's exactly the same, except it is rectangular. And either had pictures, you know how the hosts at Mass have crosses stamped on them, mm-hmm. other symbols. We always had the nativity or an old country scene, but we would take some honey, put it on one of them, put a second one on it, make a little sandwich with honey. That'd make sure the kids ate it. And then,
well, I was going to ask you if it was sweet.
Too. Especially after, no, it's exactly the same.
Just like
no
a host.
Flavoring.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Only it was oblong. Sometimes they would be pink. For some reason, I don't know why they put a little red dye in there. But usually they were white.
Okay, well, and I'm still hungry. So after the second course, I'm still hungry.
But this is something, while the garlic was for your health, this host with a little bit of honey, everybody broke a piece of it off and wished a blessing. And people would come
Lovely.
And break off a piece from yours and wish you a blessing for the year. And that still is done. And when you can't be with family, you oftentimes send them opatki as a greeting to them, send them a whole opatki. And so, it's a really nice thing, and you wish the best for it. But then, after that, we had byabobash, a white soup.
Ooh.
It was kind of a sour white soup. Sour not from lemon, but...
vinegar?
I don't know how busha. Yeah, vinegar.
Uh-huh.
It would be vinegar and potatoes and cabbage.
That sounds good.
So, I loved it. The tragedy is that my mother never got the recipe. Only my grandmother made it.
Hard to guess those ingredients and get it right, too.
That's right. And then the next thing we would eat would be the main course, which was white fish, potatoes, mm-hmm. and pierogi.
Pierogi
are dumplings. Everybody knows pierogi.
Mm-hmm.
We have those dumplings stuffed with cheese, some of them stuffed with cabbage, no meat. And some people had them with potatoes. We never had them stuffed with potatoes. That's redundant. You already got starch. But you put cheese in there. and
you can never have too many potatoes, Father Mitch.
What are you, Irish?
You bet. Sure I am. Dueling cultures here.
We would have our stuff with a couple of things. And the cabbage, which is like sauerkraut, mm-hmm. but not quite as sour as sometimes you see in German recipes. You wash out the brine a bit and put caraway seeds in it. It was really delicious. And then, and cheese. And then you'd always have some stuffed with fruit, kind of almost a dessert.
Mm-hmm.
If you could, you wanted to get the one that had prunes in it. That was sort of like the good luck one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see that often in Northern and Eastern Europe, finding a prune or raisins in your Christmas meal or holiday meals. That was
bodes well for you
when they didn't have much. Yeah, and they didn't have much fresh fruit,
mm-hmm.
so that was typical. And then for dessert, we always had khrushchiki. Khrushchiki are a thin dough that you are thin batter. My grandmother and my mother both had these steel sticks, I guess, and you would attach these flowered images made of steel. Dip them into the batter and then fry them.
Oh,
and then they
okay.
would come out covered
yes.
with,
powdered sugar then.
Covered with, powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so and that was the only dessert we ever had Christmas Eve was khrushchiki.
Wow, that was, they were working hard in the kitchen on Christmas Eve.
Well, see, this is one of the great things about ethnic cooking. It is, something that is high intensity labor. This is Italian, Middle Eastern. The food mm-hmm. is a lot of labor, but it's a labor of love. And here's one of the other things that you find in these ethnic recipes. that oftentimes it was a way for the women to catechize their children at home, explaining why we don't have meat on Christmas Eve and why we have everything white, to celebrate for Christ, his mother's pure and he's pure, and all these different little things that kids always ask questions, why are we doing this? And you see with every ethnic Catholic community, you see that there are certain recipes for certain holy days and saint days and other holidays that you have once a year and never again, because this was a way to catechize. So the time consumption in which everybody in the family, or not so much the men in those days, they didn't hang around the kitchen. They weren't allowed.
No.
And that wasn't sexism by the men. My mother wouldn't let my dad in the kitchen because he was a terrible cook. But and he made a mess.
He didn't clean up after himself.
No. I work hard all day. I already cook. You clean it up. No.
They didn't want the men in there messing up the recipe.
They did not. This was a realm where, the women of the family held sway over what's being said and taught and everything else. That was an extremely important part of the women having that kind of influence on the family. And these ethnic foods were part of catechesis.
Well, and cuisine as part of education. It gives you something to discuss while you're sharing the meal together. I love that. Have we lost a little bit of that? Do they still do that in the Polish culture?
A little bit. You can't get people to sit down and have dinner together as a family. You feel closer to the automated machine at the McDonald's than you do to your family with these meals. This is something that is completely missing. It is tragic. The family meal on a regular basis was the way in which people, shared their various stories and everything and what's happening in the day. That was, where I learned about our family. At the daily meal, that's when my dad would talk about it. And, again, I grew up at a time when there weren't, of course, we still had rotary phones. We didn't have cell phones.
You don't have to be that old to have grown up with rotary phones.
Compared to kids today, that's like using cuneiform.
Well, Father Mitch, everybody that knows you or has met you know that you look down and you've got cowboy boots on. So I do have to ask you whether Santa Claus brought you your very first pair of cowboy boots as a little boy.
No.
Not yet.
It was my birthday when I turned 6.
Oh,
because we were living in Colorado, and Colorado Springs, back in 1955. And, I remember it well.
I'm sure you do. And you never stopped the habit.
Yeah, Santa Claus would bring us clothes. We might get one toy, maybe, but
he's practical. Santa is practical sometimes.
I know, but that's not what boys care about.
Socks and underwear—that doesn't bring like Santa excitement to you.
No. I wanted
BB gun.
Oh, at least.
You've graduated since then, right, yeah. Father Mitch?
Yes.
Father Mitch, you never disappoint, and we wish you a beautiful Christmas with your Lebanese friends. And as we say goodbye, can you offer our listeners a Christmas blessing, maybe in Polish? Or at least we won't know the difference.
Maybe let me just do it in English right now. I was just we're having a Christmas novena at my Maronite parish nearby, and so I've been thinking in Arabic, and sometimes I get them all mixed up. I'm sorry.
You completely understand.
That's one problem of having multiple languages. You do start to you can get them confused.
Yeah, I mean it's got to be the only problem with knowing 13 languages, though.
But let me give you, I'll give you happily a blessing. Lord bless you all and keep and cause his face to shine upon you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Allah, bismillah. All right. God bless you.
We love you, Father Mitch. We hope you have a beautiful Christmas season. Until next time.
Thank you. You too. Everybody out there, have a wonderful time and enjoy your family.
Absolutely. You've given us some good inspiration toward that. God bless you, Father Mitch, and Merry Christmas.
Bless y'all. Bye.
Okay, so now we get to welcome Debbie Giorgiani into our Christmas dialogue. You listeners, of course, know Debbie as the co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie every weekday at noon Eastern. Debbie, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Oh, thank you, Peggy, so much. I think about you on a daily basis. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I have your magnet, Call Me Catholic, on my refrigerator. This is the truth. And so every time I brew the coffee in the morning, I look over at the magnet, it says, Call Me Catholic. I love the magnet. And I think of you, and I say a prayer for you and the show and Jimmy G and the whole team there. And I just, I love your show.
Well, that must be why we're still on the air then, Debbie.
Wow.
That's all I can say. That is beautiful. Thank you. That tickles me. I'm on the refrigerator with all your kids' pictures and report cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Padre Pio's on there, too.
Oh, I am in good company. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Debbie, every day on your show, you and Jerry pick a topic and you ask your listeners to share their take on that subject. Well, I'm going to turn the microphone on you now and ask you to share your takes on celebrating Christmas. Did you have some really fun traditions that you established with your kids growing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I used to be one of those parents that had some form of a Christmas tree, whether it was really tiny or a figurine or something
like
that.
Or the Charlie Brown one, you know.
Exactly. In every room of the house. This is no joke.
Oh, no kidding.
And I was, yes, I laugh about it now when I think about it because it took so much time. And I used to start right after Thanksgiving and I would just start decorating. But now as the children have left the home, they're grown, they have their own families. And now I am very, very back to the way I was when I was a child. And that is totally about the nativity scene.
Lovely.
When I was a small child, I loved setting up our family nativity scene. My mother used to always say, you know, you can't put the baby Jesus in.
No.
Until, yeah, Christmas time. But what I did, Peggy, and I was so proud of myself when I was really little, is I got a nightlight and I somehow hooked it up to the back of the nativity, the stable part, and I hooked it up so that there was a light. So that when, I'm going to get teary-eyed thinking about it because I remember doing it as a small child. And to this day, I don't know how my mother let me do it because it probably was a fire hazard. But aww. I did. I hooked it up on a little extension cord and I put it there because I wanted to make sure there was a light when the baby came.
That's so sweet. A little star of Bethlehem in your very own room.
You're listening to a special Christmas edition of Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin. Stick around. There's much more to come on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legg.
In the liturgical season of Advent, we commemorate two comings of Christ. The first coming as a baby at Christmas, a coming in meekness and humility, laid in a manger in Bethlehem. The second coming of Christ, though, is his coming as King at the end of time. Coming in power and glory, the King of justice and peace, coming to heal all divisions and to establish the reign of God. So we might ask this Advent, are there problems in my life, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my country? Certainly the answer is yes. Can Christ come to heal the problems, to heal the divisions, to establish his justice? Of course he can. So let's ask Christ to reign this Advent, to reign in my life, in my family, in our country, in our world. This would be a wonderful grace this Advent.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
And let's get back now to our special Christmas edition of Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton. Peggy continues now with special guest Debbie Giorgiani.
Well, Debbie, I always like asking people, everybody has their special Christmas mass that they go to. So are you a Christmas Eve, a Christmas morning, a midnight mass person?
I love midnight mass, but in the last couple years, we've been taking my husband's mom to an earlier mass on Christmas Eve. Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the parishes we go to has a 9 p.m. mass, and so we've gone to that as well. And so it depends. I mean, I also love Christmas Day masses, but, you know, there's so many times that in the morning, especially if you have family in town, sometimes it's just rushed in the morning.
Yes.
So Christmas Eve, I think I'm more of that. I'm prone to going to that mass.
Yeah, we've dabbled around to a lot of different ones, but now I see that the Christmas Eve mass is getting earlier and earlier in the day. You know, I think 4 or 4:30 or something like that. And it seems like, oh my goodness, I don't think I could be ready that early. But I think sometimes the priority is let's make mass the first thing we do before we go on to all the other festivities and gift exchanges. So what are you and your husband doing this Christmas?
Well, of course, we're going to be with my mom, who's in a memory care facility, and we're going to be having mass with her, and then Marty's mom, my husband's mom, and some friends are coming into town, and of course family, and it's really going to be a quiet Christmas, because on the show on Take Two a couple days ago, we had our guest Rebecca Even, who taught us all about the 12 days of Christmas, mm-hmm. and how to really have the best Christmas ever, starting with Christmas Day and then 12 days forward. And so we're really going to focus on that and take the 12 days and reflect upon that, and maybe have different celebrations every night and just kind of experience it in a deep and profound way. So it's going to be kind of quiet, which I'm really looking forward to.
Sounds very nourishing. One more question for you. What was your favorite memory as a little girl?
My earliest Christmas memory was I prayed for a Chrissy doll. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but it is a true statement, and I talk about this on Take Two. I prayed for it, and because I have dark curly hair, and I wanted the Chrissy doll because she had perfectly straight hair, and you could pull it out of the crown of her head and make it shorter or longer. And this one year, my parents caved in. They got me this Chrissy doll, and I took it out of the box, and I pulled her hair out of the crown of her head, and it was long and straight, and I thought, wow, this is so cool. And then I decided to cut her hair off, and I cut all her I cut all her hair off, Peggy. Can you believe it?
You kept pulling and pulling. There wasn't anything left.
There wasn't anything left. No. I know. What was I thinking? Because I think she looked so different from me. I thought, well, I got to make her look closer to me. So I just started cutting her hair. So my parents weren't really thrilled that they wasted all that money on a doll that I couldn't really use. But I remember it to this day.
I remember I received a Patty Playpel doll, which was a large, almost life-size, about the same size as I was as a 5-year-old girl. So we all, and I still have her, actually. She's missing a few limbs, but she's up in the cupboard. We remember those moments. And we know this year, kids all across America are going to wake up, and hopefully their prayers will have been answered too. And Jesus will be sharing his birthday presents with little children all over the world. So Debbie, a blessed Christmas to you. Thank you for sharing your memories. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for doing such a great job with your show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on, and Merry Christmas to you and to Jimmy G and the whole team there. And you do such great work. I love your show. It's so uplifting. It makes me just absolutely love being Catholic. So thank you for the work you're doing.
Oh,
Merry Christmas to you.
That's great. Well, thanks, Debbie. God bless you richly this Christmas and into the new year. 'Twas the day before Christmas, and all through the station, Jimmy G was getting our Christmas show out to all the nation. Yes, sirree, a blessed finish to your Advent season, my friends, and a Merry Christmas to you as well. We are enjoying an embarrassment of riches today on Call Me Catholic, having conversations with all of your favorite EWTN personalities about their Christmas plans, traditions, memories, and reflections on the season. It is my grand pleasure to include in our conversation the wonderful and inspiring Janet Bankovic, host of Women of Grace. Janet, you provide EWTN listeners with so much sage spiritual counsel and inspiration throughout the week. But today, I want to ask you about your memories of Christmas past and maybe your expectations for the future. How did you grow up celebrating Christmas, Janet? Do you have any really special memories from your childhood?
Well, Peggy, I certainly do. And I think that for any child, you know, Christmas Day is always such a meaningful, wonderful experience for so many reasons. And my early celebrations of Christmas always involved family and extended family. I have shared with our listeners through the years about my grandmother, my paternal grandmother.
Yes, I've heard you talk about your grandmother.
She was a wonderful woman. And as I've said so many times, she prayed a rosary a day, one per grandchild, and she had 13 grandchildren. But Graham loved family, and she wanted her family around her all of the time. And so I grew up in a family where we had every Sunday dinner at Grandma's house. And when it came to Christmas time, that was no different. We celebrated Christmas Eve at Grandma's house, and we celebrated Christmas Day at Grandma's house.
Did she have a big house for all of you guys?
Well, you know, surprisingly, a child's perspective was that it was huge. But as I became an adult and visited the house again, it was not a very big house at all, but it was just teeming over with children who had free reign and enjoyed themselves so tremendously. And we always had turkey for dinner, and my grandfather always carved the turkey. And as children, we would stand around as he was carving the turkey, and he would give us little snippets of the turkey, you know, as he did carve. And for Christmas.
And if you've been very good, he gives you the wishbone, right?
Yes, that was always a bone of contention, so to speak. Who was going to get the wishbone? But he was a wonderful man. Graham was a wonderful woman. And, you know, those memories of mine are the most keen and most joyful that I have. And, you know, as we grew up then and had our own children, my sister and myself, there's just the two of us, we continued a similar tradition, but we changed it slightly. And the slightly change was that Michelle, my sister, would have Christmas Eve and I would have Christmas Day. My sister had three children. I had three children. So we always brought them together with our parents and just had a remarkable time. And I think that this is what Christmas is. We think of the Holy Family. We think of the closeness and the intimacy of Saint Joseph and Our Blessed Lady and baby Jesus. We see emulated there what true love is, love personified in so many ways. And this is what we desire to have with our own families. And isn't it beautiful that the family meal can become part of the reality of our own domestic church, if you will, certainly not the same, but analogous to the meal that we share together at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I think that on these traditional holidays, to be able to enjoy that time with extended family is just a remarkable grace.
Well, you talk about your grandmother, Jeanette, and what an important person she was in modeling your faith and bringing you around to the faith and keeping the faith grounded in your family.
Yes.
How did Christmas and the holiday seasons change when you became a grandmother?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Peggy, because, you know, my oldest grandchild is about to become 13 in February. I have an 11-year-old and then a 6-year-old and a set of little twin boys that are 4. I currently have a 2.5-year-old and a little girl that's going to become a year on January the 4th. And I'm going to be having 2 more grandchildren in the not too distant future here. And so it's been delightful to be able to pull the family together. It's unique in this day and time, however, that families do not live in close proximity. Mm-hmm. And while we all lived just, you know, a short 1.5-2 miles away from my grandmother's house, now I have a daughter who lives about 4 hours away and another one that's about 16 hours away. All of that being said, we strive to get together for the holidays. We strive to get together for the holy celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am blessed that I'll have all of them at my home on Christmas Day this year.
Wonderful.
So we continue the same tradition, we'll share this time together as beautifully as we possibly can.
Well, do they help you with the cooking?
Well, they do. Yes, they do. And that's part of the fun, isn't it, though, to have all of these women in the kitchen. I remember my aunts and my grandmother and my mother in the kitchen preparing Christmas dinner. And that same kind of a tradition has carried on, and the almost 13-year-old and the 11-year-old share and help, and we just have a marvelous, beautiful, graced moment.
Is there a lot of gift exchange going on, or do you have kind of policies about who buys for what, or who chooses for what person, or is it just a free a fest of gifts?
It's a fest of gifts.
Grandma buys for everywhere.
Yes, Grandma buys for everyone, and you know, the girls exchange. It's just a beautiful time, you know. And again, you know, we want to bear in mind that why is it that we exchange gifts?
Because it's Jesus' birthday.
That's it, exactly. So we're participating in this overflowing, beautiful reality as the mystical body of Christ. Jesus gives and we give.
Yes. And do you have a special Mass that you have traditionally attended? Some people are Christmas Evers, some are Midnight Massers, some are Christmas, early Christmas morning. I have a friend that says the best Mass to go to is noon on Christmas Day. Everybody's calm, everybody's settled. That doesn't appeal to me, but everybody has a certain relationship with how they like to embrace the Mass as
yes.
the keynote in their celebration.
Yes. In recent years, we've gone to a vigil Mass, and generally speaking, it's the children's Mass.
Yes, exactly. It's the noisy restless Mass.
It is indeed, and I have to remind myself that the obligation is met, but many times I am very tempted to go to Mass again on Christmas Day.
I know.
You know, to enter into that solitude, which I think you can do at a very early Mass, but that doesn't really correspond well to having bunches of grandchildren around.
Do you decorate your house for Christmas, Jeanette?
I do, and just this past week, I don't decorate early, Peggy. I know a lot of people like to decorate early, but I don't prefer to do that, and so I just really got the Christmas decorations outside with a nativity this past weekend. The tree is up, but the tree is undecorated, and the rest of the house is undecorated. So I will be decorating the house this week. And, of course, we have a very short fourth week of Advent, don't we? I mean, it's just hours long. Otherwise, I probably would have been doing...
It's just hours long.
It's just hours. Otherwise, I would have probably been doing a lot of that. And then I like to leave it up. You know, you can leave your decorations up until February 2nd, which
right.
is the Feast of the Presentation. And I kind of like to leave it up. You know, people are very quick now to take the decorations down.
Do you get a real live tree?
I do not.
Okay, well, then that one enables you to keep it up longer.
Yes.
Here in Southern California, the trees are so dry and brittle and windswept that they are quite a fire hazard in our homes this year.
I know. And it's much like that in Florida, too. When the children were little, my husband and I always had a real tree. But in recent years, no, it's just too much for me to manage on my own.
Isn't that funny? We are so ambitious when our children are younger and we have so many more demands on us. And as we get more mature, we sort of think, we don't need that. I mean, this is fine. Life will go on without
Yes. Well, remember, when the children were younger, so were we, Peggy.
No, that's
so
true.
We had a little bit more energy than we may
I remember, now. Jeanette, when the kids were little, I used to lie in bed and pray and pray and pray. Please don't let me get sick. Please don't let me get sick. It was like the whole weight of Christmas, past, present, and future was on my shoulders, and God spared me. I don't ever remember being sick at a Christmas, but Christmas would have still gone on without me if I had. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeanette, and God's richest blessings on you and your family this Christmas and for the new year ahead. I wish you many, many blessings ahead, and thank you for what you do for our network. You are irreplaceable.
Oh, well, Peggy, may God bless you and your family. I send everything back to you. And thank you for all that you do. And for all of the listeners out there, have a blessed, holy, happy, Merry Christmas.
Beautiful conversation with Jeanette. Thank you so much, Jeanette. And now we've got Raymond Arroyo up next about his Christmas memories from New Orleans. So stay with us. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to this Christmas edition of Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
This is Peggy Normandin, host of Call Me Catholic.
Hi, this is Tim Staples from Catholic Answers Live.
This is Michael Warsaw, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of EWTN, wishing you a blessed Advent from all of us at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin
Oh boy, oh boy, we are so close to Christmas Eve, but it's still Advent in our liturgical calendar, so you gotta wait for it. I'm Peggy Normandin, and we have great expectations here on Call Me Catholic today. We are waiting for Christmas to be here, for Santa to arrive, for Jesus to be born in the manger. We've been having some great conversations, tender conversations too, with all of our and your favorite EWTN personalities and hearing about their recollections of Christmas's past, present, and future. It's our very own version of A Christmas Carol, EWTN style. Now to a man who needs no introduction here at EWTN. Raymond Arroyo is host of The World Over every Thursday, but more than that, after Mother Angelica, he's kind of the face of EWTN. We love him, and we are so grateful for all that he's done for our network. Raymond Arroyo, Merry Christmas, and welcome back to Call Me Catholic.
Oh, Peggy, Merry Christmas to you. I'm delighted to be on, and particularly at this time of year, it's my favorite time of year.
I know. Now, Raymond, you grew up in a town whose middle name is pretty much Christmas. What are some of your favorite memories, Christmas memories, from your childhood in New Orleans, Louisiana?
Well, you know, in New Orleans, we have such odd ways of celebrating everything. It's all, everything's a big deal. So Advent is a big deal. And there are concerts in the cathedral every weekend. Just this past weekend, I went to with my family. There was, you know, they have caroling in Jackson Square where the whole community comes together. And I have to tell you, it is so beautiful to have thousands and thousands of your fellow New Orleanians with candles in their hands and little carol books. And you sing in unison, and there's something almost
spiritual.
It's transcendent. Yeah, it's spiritual and transcendent when you're, you know, uniting in song and you're singing about the birth of Christ, and you know, and you're at a place that means so much to you. This year will be the 300th anniversary of New Orleans, so it's a big year for us. But you know, for us being Italian too, food was a big deal during the holidays. There's the melaton dressing and shrimp dressing my mother always makes, oyster dressing. All those things, I guess, I always revert to.
Have you carried on any of those traditions?
All of them. Yeah, all of them. We go to midnight mass with the kids at the church that they were baptized in and the, you know, I went to as a child. We continue, we do Réveillon dinners on Christmas Eve night so that, you know, before, now we do it before. Traditionally, what you would do is the French settlers to New Orleans, they would go on a fast and then you'd go to midnight mass and when you came home, there was this huge feast and you'd eat, you know, you couldn't stop eating. Well, we don't do that. We tend to have it before, you know, so we'll go to a Christmas Eve dinner and then a few hours later, after the appropriate fast, we go to midnight mass. So it's a tradition we maintain, and it is beautiful in New Orleans. I mean, it's like stepping back in time. And there are also, you know, Christmas pageants and parades, and there's something called Celebration in the Oaks, which are in our city park. They light it up, and it's just spectacular. So we do all those things as a family, and it makes the holiday special. And look, it's about spending time together. It's about spending time in unison, thanking God for his blessings, and preparing yourself for this birth. You know, you mentioned Mother Angelica earlier, and I was telling someone a few weeks ago, actually, that when I first went to EWTN, she would come down the halls during Advent, and she would look at you and go, "He's coming. He's coming." And I remember asking, "Who's coming?" You know, turning to people next to me, "What is she talking about? Who's coming?" And I did not thought it was a board member, a ball. I don't know who was coming. It turned out she was talking about Jesus. And she would do this the whole Advent season like a little girl. "He's coming." So that spirit, that joyous childlike spirit, you know, I try to preserve not only in my family, but also in the workplace this time of year. It's important.
Did you have a favorite gift that you received from on behalf of Jesus' birthday from Santa as a child? Do you remember any in particular?
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to think. Yeah, you know, I had big video game. I was a big video game guy, so I remember my first Atari was a big deal. But other than that, you know, the stuff, and this is a great lesson for us as parents. The kids never remember this stuff. They remember the occasions. They remember the events. They remember time spent with you. And so this, I try not to overburden Santa with my kids. I mean, you know, he brings them gifts, but I don't tax them because I think the greatest gift you can give them is, you know, tickets to the Nutcracker or, you know, special dinner before that. Those are the things that they can carry on that will mark them and that they will remember long after the tchotchkes. So the gifts, I really don't remember. I feel bad saying that, Peggy, because I want more this year, but I don't remember.
Well, you know, you're so right because as a parent, you want to do everything for everybody. You've got a huge list and you're helping Santa out. And you feel pressure up until the point where you say, okay, let Christmas begin, and suddenly what you forgot is forgotten. It's like nobody's going to be aware of something that was overlooked or a gift that didn't make it under the tree. So you're absolutely right. We kind of impose this on ourselves. Well, Raymond, I have to ask you, though, because I know you are experiencing, I bet you not, you don't know where I'm going to go with this. You are experiencing a very cool passage as a parent, and that is when your oldest child goes away to college and they come home for Christmas. That is an awesome feeling, isn't it?
It is. It is an incredible feeling. And he, you know, our guy, Alexander, is so incredible. He got back. I'm happy to report. In fact, we got the grades today. Straight A's his first semester.
What? At University of Notre Dame? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, he's a hard worker. He's a lot smarter than his father, I can tell you. I think that's true. Yeah. Anything ever, you know, but, it may be in an acting class, but, everything else was straight D's and C's. Don't tell him that. But it has been, it's been wonderful just to watch him grow, you know, into a man and assume responsibilities. And you know, it's for me, that's the greatest gift, really. And to have everybody back under the roof. Peggy, you know how
I know.
That's emotional, having everybody back together, and you can go places and to mass together and experience dinners. And, you know, my parents are still with us, so we can go, you know, we do things together. So that means a lot. Those are the times that you can't get back and that you can't buy at a store. So
no.
I always tell people, if you have to pull children out of school to go on trips, if you have to spend a little more on that event, that's worth much more than cars or you know, yachts or jewelry or whatever else you might want to spend your time or money on, because that stuff's aid.
Well, and I think that ritual of the going away to college and coming back, when they're gone, I think they come back and they appreciate it. It's like, oh, look at the house, look
You're
at my
right.
room, look at my mom and dad. I'm actually enjoying them, you know. It's
right.
It's such a really very exciting time, and it makes the Christmas season all that much more sort of thrilling. So Raymond, he had a good first semester at Notre Dame?
Wonderful first semester.
And you had a good football season too.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs, but oh well. He's now angling to go to the Citrus Bowl. He wants me to take him down to Florida. I don't think we're going to make that pilgrimage, but he's trying.
Now, do you go down to New Orleans for Christmas? Am I understanding that you take your family down and that's where you spend Christmas?
Well, we live there now. We moved back in July.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We moved back to New Orleans in July. I couldn't take D.C. anymore.
Oh, for crying out. No, I didn't know that. That's neat. So you're happy. You're back home.
I love being back home. Yeah. My friend Mary Madeline always said, I know you're struggling with what to do. She said, but let me tell you. When you land in New Orleans, it's like going on vacation every day you're home. And she's right. Every time I land, it really is like going on vacation. I mean, the people are wonderful. The food is great. The weather's warm. And it's just, you know, it's the culture. It's the pace. It's the rhythm. It's the people I know. And they're kind of in my blood. So, yes, we celebrate in New Orleans. We've traditionally gone home every year, no matter what. But this is the first year we're back in New Orleans in 12 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nice.
Now, how are your kids liking the new environment?
Oh, my gosh. They love it.
Do they? You know, great.
In other parts of the country, Peggy, there is an inhumanity that's crept into just daily living. Kids don't date anymore. They text.
Right.
They don't even go on dates. They sit across each other from each other with phones in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of coldness that's crept in, and we see weird manifestations of it, I think, in all the sexual harassment, Me Too stuff. But in New Orleans, people still talk. There are still dances. There are a lot of communal events. You have dinners together, long dinners. Conversation is treasured, and so are your elders. And that environment for the kids has been incredible, and they have just relished it. In fact, my middle son said, I don't know why we waited so long. We should have come back here.
That must be so gratifying for you.
So
what do you attribute that to? Why does New Orleans hold on to a culture that the rest of the world is losing?
Well, we're landlocked. We were surrounded by water. We're like our own little island. That geographically explains some of it. But the other thing is we do, you know, we live out the liturgical calendar all year round.
Mm.
I mean, we truly do. Advent is marked. Christmas is marked. The 12 days of Christmas are marked. And you know why? Because we're building up to the Mardi Gras season, which starts on January 6th, on the Epiphany. And then you've got the whole Mardi Gras season, which is really our Lenten preparation. You know, so we're already planning. I mean, I'm planning what balls we're going to go to. Am I going to ride in this parade or not? Who's coming in town? When is that happening? All those things. So your life in New Orleans is built, your menu, your schedule, around those liturgical feasts and events. And it's not just you, it's everybody.
And it's the whole community. Yeah, it's a whole matter of fellowship there.
Yeah, and look, people think we're nuts, and I'm sure we are a little bit, but, you know, it's a place for eccentrics to thrive, I always say. And if it worked for Walker Percy and Capote and a few others, it'll work.
Few good authors coming out of the South, for sure. Well, I am very happy for you. That is news, and this is your first Christmas back home, so this will be very, very special for you guys.
It is, no, and we're really looking forward to it, and I'm so thankful that we were able to make the move back. And I love that I fly up, I do the show in D.C., and then I get to go home. And there's something wonderful about that, and leaving D.C. behind with its sterility and craziness.
Yeah, well, I can hear it in your voice, Raymond. That's awesome.
I always think of Christmas as a time to give thanks and to really cherish and love the people nearest you, because there's no guarantee we're all going to be together next year.
No, I know that.
We have to know that.
It's a very wistful time. We want you around for a long time, Raymond, and I want to say among the many gifts exchanged in the process of the Christmas holiday season, I consider you a great gift, and I'm so grateful for all you've done,
Peggy,
for our network
and
for the times that you've appeared on our show. Come on our show. We love you, and we wish you much happiness in your New Orleans home.
Well, I love you, and I love being with you. And anytime, you know, I'm always game. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. God bless you, Raymond. Well, this has been so much fun talking to my personal favorite personalities of the EWTN family, Raymond, Father Mitch, Debbie, Johnette, all such great, important influences in the EWTN world, and it's certainly in my world. And it sounds like they all have delightful Christmases planned. So I wish the same for all of you. I wish you a beautiful, blessed, Merry Christmas, Jimmy G.
Same to you, Peggy.
And may Santa be good to you this year.
Thank you.
And may the baby Jesus arrive in his manger as he's supposed to tomorrow night. So God bless you all, my listeners. And remember to check us out on Facebook, and then come back around next week, same day, same time, for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I am Peggy Normandin, but you can call me Christmas. No, call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.